If you've heard about YouTube Shorts, you probably have about a million questions. What is it? How does it work? What are the requirements? Can you use it for monetizations? And many, many more. Well, good news is that today's episode is all about YouTube Shorts, and we answer those very questions and even more. Let's do this.
Welcome to Tube Talk, the show dedicated to helping you become a better video creator so you can get more views, subscribers, and build your audience. Brought to you by vidIQ. Download for free at vidIQ.com.
And welcome to another episode of Tube Talk. My name is Liron Segev. I'm your host. I am a tech blogger, a YouTuber, and the director of customer success here at vidIQ, where every day we help creators, big and small, level up their channels, get more subscribers, more views in less time. So YouTube Shorts is the new hot trending topic happening in the YouTube world, and well, there's a lot of mystique around it. Well, in order to unpack all of that, I have got together with the vidIQ crew, and we're going to tell you about our experiments and our experiences with YouTube Shorts, and hopefully be able to answer your YouTube Shorts questions. So I am joined by the vidIQ crew. As I said, I have got YouTube resident creator Rob Wilson. Hello, Mr. Wilson.
Hello, everybody. Welcome, audience, whether you are watching or listening. Good to talk to you as always. And what a hot topic we have today. Will it be a hot topic in 12 months? I just don't know.
And that's part of our discussion today. So we've also got gaming master. I've coined that title for Mr. Dan Carlson. That is what it is. Gaming master extraordinaire. Dan, say hello to the people.
I've been called worse things. Hello, everybody. Welcome. A whole bunch of you were sitting here waiting already. We greatly appreciate it.
Today's topic is about shorts. We know this is everything people want to know about shorts, everything that we know about shorts, a lot of testing that we've done to do with YouTube Shorts, and that is going to be our entire discussion today. So I think we got to start somewhere, and I think the good place to start is right at the beginning. What are YouTube Shorts? Mr. Wilson, you have picked up this trend way before it became a trend. You were wearing a face mask before it became cool. So tell us about YouTube Shorts and how you detected it. What happened? What did you discover? And what are YouTube Shorts?
Okay, so the way I discovered YouTube Shorts was probably like many people in the YouTube app, probably in the last 3 to 6 months, and I think that this was different for all users. They saw a new shelf appearing when they were watching content, which was called Stories and Short Videos. And we've been familiar with YouTube Stories for a while, and these are the 15-second clips that people can sometimes make on their channel if they have a certain number of subscribers. But these short videos appeared to be just regular YouTube videos in a certain format, and they were appearing on that shelf as well. And I was looking at these thinking, wow, this is an amazing new landscape of discovery on YouTube. Imagine if your video started to appear there. And as time's gone on, YouTube started to reveal that this is their new function called YouTube Shorts. And they tell us, I was watching a creator inside a video this week, they were telling us that the YouTube Shorts are the new way to enable the next generation of creators, which is a YouTube speak for we're copying TikTok and we missed out on this trend, but now we're trying to jump onto it. So that's it. I'd say that's the embryo of YouTube Shorts right now.
Okay, but let's discuss YouTube Shorts specifically. What are they?
So YouTube Shorts are essentially any video that is less than 60 seconds long and is in a vertical format. That means that it is eligible, and I stress the word eligible. It doesn't automatically appear, but it is eligible to feature on the shelf. And where you will see this shelf is, let's say you're watching a regular video on the YouTube mobile app, and you scroll down and you see your usual suggested videos. That shelf may be one of the first things that appears, and you can swipe along it, tap it, and then you are taken into almost a brand new viewing experience on YouTube, which is very similar to TikTok in the sense that when a video finishes, it automatically plays another one. You can swipe up to see another YouTube short. And there are a lot less options because you can't necessarily see comments or anything because they are vertical format. They fill the entire YouTube mobile screen. So regular videos is a certain viewing experience where you get more choice as to what you want to watch next. YouTube Shorts, YouTube essentially decides what you're going to watch next. And if anybody's familiar with TikTok, that's essentially what YouTube Shorts are within the mobile app.
Okay, so we know that it's short videos, hence the word shorts, 60 seconds or less. Dan, you've done a whole bunch of YouTube Shorts on the vidIQ Shorts channel. For those who don't know, we have one of those. Dan, what are the requirements when you're picking up that camera? Do you film it with your camera? Do you film it with your phone? Is it vertical, horizontal? What is the practical steps to take to create a YouTube Shorts?
Yeah, so I use my camera. Everything you see here is set up for me so I can just turn it on and start recording. And in my editing software, I literally just, you know, cut off the sides. So I'm in vertical format. It does have to be vertical format, but where we've been seeing people test out like a little bit wider, and I'm not exactly sure what the limit is, but it would seem that certain videos might be shorts, if even though they're not 9x16.
I can add a little bit more to that, Dan. We have seen a channel which was making square videos, so like 1080 by 1080. And as far as we're aware, they were being treated as a short video, YouTube Shorts. But don't quote me on that, because this is, we're going to understand a lot of confusion here about YouTube Shorts. YouTube haven't told us exactly what the dimension should be. But from one of the examples I've seen, it can be a square video. But you'll have to test to find out. So carry on, Dan. Sorry to interrupt there.
No, it's okay. That's good to know, because I have not seen a square one yet. I've definitely seen vertical get wider videos. I always make mine 9x16. I literally instead of 16x9, just flip it. So I've also tried this with a gaming video or two, where I took Minecraft and I literally just cropped off the sides. And as long as I made sure when I was filming it, the camera was centered on whatever I was trying to show, it wasn't a big deal. And I even got comments like, how did you do that? And it was literally just in the editing software. But as for the vidIQ Shorts channel, like I said, I record this way. And as for requirements, what I try and do is I've just tried a couple things. In one of them, I got my cat and bothered her for a minute. One of them, I said I wanted to try filming vertical N64 videos. And just to screw around, I took the N64 that's behind me and just said, all you need to do is turn it on its side and start playing games. It's perfect.
I tried that. I can confirm that doesn't work.
It does not work. Okay. I hadn't tried it. I was making an assumption. So yeah, we're kind of just messing around over there and trying different things, because honestly, we don't exactly know what is going to get us on this shelf, this magical short shelf.
Yeah, a couple more things to add again here, just from what I've learned, is that it doesn't matter whether you make the video through a mobile phone or you make it on a desktop computer, and it doesn't matter where you upload the content, whether it be through a mobile phone or through the YouTube desktop. I think for everybody here, there's a really important distinction between requirements and eligibility. I think, as far as I'm aware, any video you make that is in a vertical-ish format and is less than 60 seconds long is eligible. Whether it gets on the shorts shelf is an entirely different question, which I think we'll investigate more as we discuss this.
All right. So I think it's important, you know, you'll hear this saying a lot as we go through. We'll say something like, from our experience, or we have been testing this, or we've been testing that. That seems to work versus that doesn't seem to work. The truth is, we just don't know. YouTube hasn't come up with a white paper to say, hey, these are the requirements. This is what you have to do. So a lot of it is experimental. In fact, one of the things they did come out and say is that you've got to have hashtag shorts in your title or hashtag shorts in your description. But Rob, you've seen that a lot of videos actually don't have hashtag shorts, and yet they're still being treated as shorts.
Yeah, that doesn't seem to be true. The first evidence being that we're seeing videos from 5 to 10 years old that have been published on YouTube, which when they were published, they had no clue that YouTube Shorts was going to be a thing. So it's not in the title or description, and they're appearing in shorts. And other people have been attending actual YouTube workshops where they've been saying, no, it's not necessarily to put hashtag shorts in the title or the description. I don't think it harms you whether you put it in there or not, but it doesn't seem to be an important feature. And it probably certainly won't be in the next couple of months as YouTube continue to refine this area. And I think that's a good point, Liron, where you're talking about the communication from YouTube here has been so far very poor, in the sense that us creators who want to jump onto this feature and tool, you know, almost like a land grab, we're not getting the information we need. But I guess from YouTube's point of view, is they're not too fussed about, you know, the early adopters trying to leverage and maximize and maybe manipulate the tool. They're just like us testing it at the moment.
Testing.
Yeah.
And that's the important distinction. The app is officially, YouTube Shorts is officially launched only in India at the moment. And that's going to be part of the YouTube app inside the, you know, on your cell phone. Well, right. Just like you can press a button to create a new story, you'll press a button to create a new short. That's what it seems like it's going to be for the rest of the world. But what they did do is they said, look, as long, it seems to be that as long as your short videos are less than 60 seconds, everything else is up for grabs, vertical, horizontal, crowbar it in, you know, make it a like TikTok or make it like Instagram where it's a square format. All of that seems to be up in the air.
Yeah.
The only minimum requirements to qualify as a short is 60 seconds or less. Did you guys agree with that?
I think it has to be square or vertical. If it's in any form of landscape, I don't think it will be counted. And so I think from that point
two
of
things.
View,
so yeah, it's two things, square or vertical, and it's got to be 60 seconds or less.
Yeah.
And whether you put shorts in the title or description, that doesn't seem to be. But let's be honest, it can't really harm you. One question that I keep seeing time and time again is to do with thumbnails. Now, we often speak about thumbnails. We say how important they are for YouTube, how the thumbnail is going to get somebody's attention. It's going to get them to stop the scroll and then look at your title and then click. Thumbnails don't seem to play a role at all in YouTube Shorts, right?
No, it's a bit weird because in my own testing, I did some, like I said, some Minecraft content, and the three screen grabs that YouTube gives you to put in the place of the thumbnail weren't great, and I'm like, I would like to have my own thumbnail, even if I have to make it vertical, you know, something that, because I know when it shows up on the shelf, it's going to be vertical. But I put a thumbnail on it anyway, a normal YouTube thumbnail, because I know when I post the video, my audience is still going to see it. So it didn't seem to affect it getting on the shelf or not. It still became a YouTube short. I still got that traffic that I was looking for. It's weird going into YouTube and not worrying about a thumbnail for once. I don't know if it'll stay that way. I would actually like a little more control. I've always wanted to be able to scrub through my video and pick a frame rather than these three randomly generated frames. I know there's probably some AI there, but it doesn't do a good job for me. I would really like to have a little more control over what people see.
Yeah. Well, so again, to add
experimental,
more,
right?
Again, to add more to that, you can fully optimize your shorts. If you intend it to be YouTube Shorts, you can still fully optimize a video as if it was going to be a regular YouTube video. So like title, description, video tags, all of that type of jazz. It's not going to mean that it's not eligible for being a YouTube Shorts, but it won't use the thumbnail, which leads to a really important question. You have control of one thing on the YouTube Shorts when it appears on that shelf, and that is the title, which means that the title is absolutely crucial for potentially getting that click. And the requirements for the title seem to be, if it's more than 40 characters long, then it gets chopped off, you know, it gets concatenated like it would do a thumbnail on other parts of the YouTube app. But because you can't control the thumbnail, you can only control that title, that is where you're going to best serve a potential audience, which means that I think, and this is well up for discussion and argument, that there's less search intent on these titles because people can't search for YouTube Shorts. YouTube just decides what's on that shelf. And I think you have to have more of an emotive pull, intrigue, you know, like at that light bulb trigger moment. It's like, this title's really interesting. I want to click on it. And I think the only one way you could control your thumbnails a little bit is if you do several scenes in your video, then you're not quite sure what the thumbnail is going to be. Whereas if it's, let's just say, an image of Minecraft, you kind of know that it's going to be showing something about Minecraft. So it's probably going to be something interesting there. But like when we've been testing shorts, I've been talking to camera, then I've been doing a graphic and then maybe some text. And at the end of the day, I have no clue what thumbnail is going to be shown. So that's something that you've got to maybe contemplate as well.
Lots of experimentation. I mean, YouTube has always said that they're moving to a point where their AI is going to try pick up the best thumbnail for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it could now, be.
So again, maybe a lot of this data is going towards that, where they're not giving you that option for a reason. They want to see how good they do with their AI, test that system. But I agree with everyone. We all want some control. So we've learned a couple of things. 60 seconds or less, vertical or square, and control the 40 characters of your title to get that initial intrigue click. Almost clickbait, dare I say?
Something yeah, it could be. Yeah, when you're so limited, I think that we could end up with that kind of scenario.
So it's not search intent, and it's not algorithmically intent to surface that content. Are you guys, and question for both of you, are you finding that when you see one shorts about one topic, the next couple of videos are about the same topic, the same shorts are about the same topic, or are you finding they're just completely random hodgepodge of stuff?
So 2 or 3 months ago, it felt like it was completely random. Like watch a Mr. Beast video and the suggestions would be like a Tesla, Galaxy Note 20, and then something about how big planets are in the solar system.
Whatever YouTube wants to have shorts end up being, they're probably just trying to collect data. They're probably just trying to train their robots right now. And we're just going to have to keep testing things. And it's not that YouTube is necessarily hiding a lot of stuff from us. It's that there's nothing to share yet because they haven't collected the data on it.
Okay. So people are experimenting. People are playing. A big question we get all the time is, where should I upload shorts? I really want to experiment with this new format. Do I upload it on my main channel? Do I create a new channel? What do you guys think?
Okokay, so I'll talk about vidIQ's experiences first. We experimented with some shorts on our main channel. I guess I was kind of picking the top quality ones of all of the stuff that we've been testing. And maybe we've done 1 or 2 a week. And so far, the results from an audience perspective have been encouraging in the sense that we're not getting far less views on those videos. And in some of them, actually, they're performing quite well. How you understand whether or not a video that you upload to YouTube actually turns into a short is through traffic sources. If you look at your traffic source and you see that you're getting an unusual amount of direct and unknown views as a traffic source, that is an indicator that video is now appearing on shorts. And I think Dan can attest to this most, whereby a lot of people are experiencing that when you upload a video onto YouTube with the intention of it being a short, it might do absolutely nothing for the first 2 or 3 days. And then all of a sudden, within a space of a couple of hours, you get like a huge spike in views randomly. And then you might get another spike. And so you'll suddenly find that the video's got maybe 10 views and then it's got 1,500 views or something. I mean, Dan, if you just want to quickly explain your experiences, because I know that's happened on your channel maybe once or twice with these videos.
Yeah, I've had a weird thing. And sorry if you can hear anything in my background, by the way. I don't think I can do anything about it. There is a couple of, I just tried it twice, right? And I have a gaming channel with Minecraft content mostly. So I put up one. I just kind of targeted a couple search terms that seemed like they were doing okay. Just a really quick, simple how-to thing. One was how to tame a horse. One was how to make a map. These were questions people were asking. I'm like, all right, sure. So a little bit of search intent there, which means I'm probably going to get some traffic from search. But the videos did do almost nothing for about the first 24 hours. And then the first one I did suddenly had what was almost a 90-degree angle on my graph.
Yeah,
almost flat. And then boom, straight up. And it did that for about maybe 8 to 12 hours and then flatlined again. And then another 24 hours goes by, maybe 48. We're kind of a few weeks out from this now. And then boom, again, almost a 90-degree spike. And then poof, flat again. And just like you said, it was that direct or unknown traffic source, which was a little bit confusing. The second one I did has been mostly flat for over a week now. It's just kind of sat and done nothing. And I've gotten a tweet from somebody that said, hey, look, and they showed me a picture of my video in the short shelf, but it has not done that 90-degree spike that my other one did. And I wonder if that again is the YouTube algorithm kind of learning and putting this video out in a different way rather than all at once. It's been kind of testing it little by little on around the app. I can only guess right now, but yes, a very totally two different, you know, ways that my videos have been getting views from director unknown sources.
Yeah, so to compare it back to the traditional way a YouTube video might be launched is that YouTube tests it out very early, very quickly. First of all, with your subscribers, and then on browse features. And then so your graph will sort of have that upward trajectory and then start to flatline. But as Dan says, with a shorts, it might be flatlining at first, and then suddenly it does that, and then does that, as we feel YouTube is just randomly testing it in this shorts shelf. So it's a completely different mindset that you have to have when you're testing these shorts. So anyway, back to vidIQ. We've had relative, I'd say, minor success with the shorts videos on our main channel. But what we wanted to do was test this on a brand new dedicated channel called vidIQ Shorts, because the worry is for us, as with many other creators, is how do these short videos impact your existing audience in terms of, do they all of a sudden want to start watching 15 to 60 second videos on your channel where you were previously going into lots of detail, like 2, 5, 20 minute videos? You're kind of splintering, fracturing your audience. So we've started this new shorts channel where it is exclusively short videos, and we've had no success whatsoever. I don't think a single one of those videos has been considered a YouTube short. We're still getting views because, remember, these videos that you upload to YouTube, whether you intend them to be shorts or not, are videos on YouTube. So they can be viewed as normal videos. I know this sounds really confusing, and I think I want to talk a little bit more about that later on. But yeah, my experience is that I've learned a lot about YouTube shorts and how they technically operate. But in terms of me actually having success and having videos go viral, not happened for me at all yet.
But we have seen them happen for lots of people as well, though.
Absolutely, yeah. So, I mean, if you want me to continue, this is where I think there is a huge potential land grab right now. People aren't sure what's going to happen with YouTube Shorts in the future, but this is why I was telling people to test it right now, because if it turns into the next big thing, like a proper rival to TikTok, wouldn't it be amazing if you were one of the authorities, the leaders in the YouTube Shorts space when it first started? So I was recommending that people test this, and I've gotten so many comments and tweets back, and probably people in the chat now saying, I tested this, and yeah, this video got like 300 views, and I usually get 10 views per video. And so because there's less competition right now, I think there's a huge opportunity for people to get a lot more views. Yes, get a lot more views. But of course, the title of this whole podcast / live stream is, are these views worth it? And I think we'll talk a little bit about that later on. I'll just give you a couple of examples. I think there was one Minecraft channel that I looked at, which I think was getting a couple of hundred views. They started doing these shorter videos 2 or 3 months ago when it was very new. And they've had a couple of shorts videos that have got millions of views. And the channel's got tens of millions of views. But the channel itself only has 40,000 subscribers. So the actual community that they built from it has been relatively short, considering the number of the views they've got. But yeah, there's all sorts of other examples of people, and I've done this in several videos on the channel now, whereby we're finding random people who are just starting out on YouTube or have never had that break, that moment on their channel. They've tested shorts, and all of a sudden, bam, they're getting tens of thousands of views.
So the question is that, is it not dangerous, so to speak, in inverted commas, to have shorts, you know, to completely pivot to shorts on your main channel? Because now you're finding that you've already built up a community, you've built up an audience, whether it be at 100 subscribers, 5,000 subscribers, 100,000 subscribers, whatever that number is, you've built an audience that knows what they want from you. And you're delivering, and you're looking at your data and your analytics, and you're doing everything that we're telling you to do, and you're growing and growing and growing. Now you're going to start hitting up those 60 seconds little snippets of video, of content. Yes, you're going to get those initial impressions, initial views. Are they going to turn into subscribers is the first question. The second question is, well, what happens to your hardcore community that you've spent years building and cultivating? Are they not going to get a little bit upset by you doing a Minecraft, a makeup tutorial, a politics tutorial, and then just not your usual content?
Go on, Dan. I'll let you field that one first.
Yeah. So I'm kind of itchy here because there's a few things I want to say. I would say that first, any any short that you find on YouTube, I just don't know if you're going to subscribe to it. I feel like these are things people watch pretty casually.
Yep.
And they're kind of one after another. And unless maybe you have a big library of shorts built up, I don't know if your videos are going to get recommended alongside each other. So it's hard for you to get in front of people and say, hey, subscribe to me, when there's somebody else on the next frame ready to say the same thing. So if you can somehow start getting recommended, maybe alongside your own shorts, so like a little playlist kind of shows up and interrupts people's flow for a minute. Now it's like 1, 2, 3, 4 videos from you. Maybe then you get them to subscribe. I think right now it's going to be difficult to get people to subscribe to these. One thing I want to say, though, is that YouTube Shorts, like, we need to think about this from maybe YouTube's perspective for a minute. YouTube Shorts is a response to the potential disappearance of TikTok, right? And TikTok caters to a very different person. This is someone who wants to pull out their phone and do something funny real quick. Maybe they have a funny idea for a dance or something, or their cat is doing something funny. They just want to get it on camera. They don't want to worry about titles, tags, descriptions, thumbnails, all this very technical stuff that, you know, it takes to get your YouTube video seen. So I don't know if Shorts will ever be something that is for the creators like us here in this call, or creators watching right now who have been doing YouTube the more, I guess, traditional way for some time. I'm sorry, I'm holding up traditional way for some time. And I think that's just really important. I think YouTube is going to continue catering this to people who haven't used YouTube before, and they just want to pull out their phone and do something quick. This is not meant to be maybe a long-term channel growth strategy.
Okay. Before you counter, because I know Rob's about to go left jab and then a right jab.
Please do.
Here's my question. If anybody can quickly create without technical skills and really film something on your phone and simply hit the upload button, are we not worried about the pollution of content that we're going to maybe start seeing on YouTube, which is something that YouTube has been really good at, because the barrier to entry is so hard, because it's so difficult to create content, because you need to invest some time and money and effort into creating a really big channel and growing your channel. Now, all of a sudden, we have this tool that anybody can do in seconds and really literally upload and get thousands of views. Are you not worried about the type of content we're going to see?
I'm not, if they separate it the way they're talking about separating it, right? Like, they are introducing a whole new app in India. And I think at some point
we're not a new app, Dan.
It's not a new app.
No, what it's an extension to the existing app.
Gotcha. Okay. My point is that I think Shorts are going to be in their own little kind of island, you know, and it's going to be content that is living on the same site, and you could probably find it from the desktop app, but I don't think it'll flood the site necessarily. But again, this is just me spouting off.
Rob, your counterpoint.
Yeah, okay. So to counter what you first said, Dan, about TikTok, I think TikTok originally was this new content platform where people were just going on there and having fun and doing these little skits and stunts. But I think just like the YouTube platform matured, I think TikTok is now maturing now, where there are people who are of perhaps an older generation who are learning and understanding the value of these short form content, when it may be providing value and education and whatnot. And so I think that there is that possibility on YouTube as well.
Yeah.
But I think that's a discussion. I don't think either is right or wrong there. Now to go on back to the question about, should you start a brand new channel? If you are a new creator, well, actually, this is a really tricky question, both from a technical point of view and from a audience point of view. So let me start with the audience point of view. If you are already a hugely established creator on YouTube, then yes, I would definitely recommend starting a new channel, because it's much easier to bring your huge audience over to these short clips, as Mr. Beast has done. He started his Shorts channel, I think, 6 weeks ago. It's already got 1 million subscribers, tens of millions of views. He knows what he's doing, and all of these larger creators as well know what they're doing. If you're a brand new channel, let's say less than 100 subscribers, 500 subscribers, then I think, given the journey that you're on, you probably have license to test that on your main channel as well, because you may find out that if you pivot to the short form content, that you are a short form content creator, and that's absolutely fine if you're happy to do that. I think the struggle is for channels that have sort of just established themselves, maybe monetized, they have 1,000 subscribers plus, and they're building momentum with their channel, and then all of a sudden you're thrusting this different type of content on them. Mm-hmm. That's a really big challenge, because if you start a new channel, you've got a relatively small channel or a small audience already. It might be difficult to bring any of that audience to that short form content. So I don't know if there's a good answer here. I'm just giving you my thoughts on that side of the equation. Technically, YouTube, now I saw this one comment, so I don't know if it's true. This person attended one of these YouTube workshops, and they were saying that right now YouTube are treating shorts as just normal content on your analytics, whereby short videos are going to lower your average view duration, they're going to lower your watch time, so they could impact your channel, which is a serious question to consider if you're going to do shorts. Again, whether it's going to be the same in the future, I'm not sure. And then, Leron, to answer the question about the worry about, is this content going to pollute YouTube? Unfortunately, that's already happening, because I don't know about you, but almost every third video that I scroll through on shorts is actually a TikTok video. Somebody's ripped it from TikTok and dumped it on YouTube. And while YouTube's content ID and copyright is very robust for like general copyright stuff, do they have any control in place for knowing if a TikTok video is just being ripped and being put onto YouTube? Now, if you're taking your TikTok content and putting it on YouTube, I think that's acceptable. But if you're stealing other people's TikTok content, which I've seen is rampant already within YouTube Shorts, then already we've got a serious problem, and YouTube needs to fix that.
Yeah, so that actually dovetails into my next question about repurposing content. And by repurposing content, I mean your own content.
Yeah,
What Rob mentioned is absolutely true. Every third, fourth video is just a compilation or someone ripping somebody else's video, and they're not even trying to hide it. It says TikTok with the author's name, and then maybe they give them credit in the description to think, okay, well, if I've done that, I'm well within my guidelines. So if I repurpose, let me ask this in a form of a question. I'm decided based on this conversation, I'm not going to stick my content on my shorts content on my main channel.
Yeah.
I'm going to create another channel, because I think that's probably the safest way to go. Do you guys think it's a good idea to take some of my old content or somebody's old content on their own channel and maybe cut it up into a compilation of some type and try that as a shorts?
I have no problem with that. I think we would encourage that with live streams. So the only difference is that you turn in something probably from a landscape into a vertical format. If you do that well with through editing and you make it consumable in a vertical format, I think that's a good idea. And you know, as we keep going back to that word, test it.
Yes.
You're only going to find out the answer if you test it.
All right. So now the big question, monetization.
Yep.
Okay, so YouTube Shorts, you upload it as a regular video, which basically means you can put thumbnail, title, description, tags, but then you can also click that little button. If you're already in the YouTube program, you can click the little button saying, hey, I want this to be part of that. I want people to see ads. Anybody, before we get in deep into this, just a quick, Dan, yes or no, have you seen any ads on a YouTube Shorts yet?
No, I don't think I have.
Rob?
No.
At all, right? Okay, so we're still ticking that box, but so far it seems to have no impact.
Yeah.
But now the question is, let's just say you are because we're starting this new channel, can I make lots of shorts to try get 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 of hours so I can get into YouTube monetization?
No. Yes. I mean, no. Yes, no. Okay.
Okay, good.
Well, I'm going to try and answer this. All right, so... follow it. I'm going to try and say this slowly so you can follow me, right? You want to make a YouTube Shorts video, right? So you upload it to YouTube as you would any video. And yes, it's 60 seconds long. It's vertical video format. The bottom line is you're uploading a video to YouTube. Now then, if that video is watched in the normal way you watch a YouTube video on the YouTube app, like you search for something and you find that it's 60 seconds long in vertical format, you tap on it and you watch it. That would count towards watch time, for monetization because you're watching as a regular YouTube video. However, if you watch exactly the same video in the YouTube Shorts environment of the YouTube app, it doesn't count towards monetization. And this is now where I look at YouTube directly and say, that is insane. It's utterly confusing for creators. YouTube needs to sort this out very, very soon. As an example, our YouTube Shorts channel, which isn't getting any views as Shorts right now, but are still 60 seconds long, we are getting watch time towards 4,000 hours. I think we got like 18 hours now, because obviously when you upload a short video, you don't get much watch time. But if any of those videos do actually turn into Shorts, then that watch time will no longer count towards watch time. I hope that makes sense, in that it doesn't make sense right now.
To quote Rob, yes, no, no, yes, no, yes, no, no, yes. Okay, so that was crystal clear. Dan, anything to add to this confusion? Or Dan's stuck. No. I'm not even trying.
To try and give you some like background and context. When there were just YouTube stories, you remember the stories where people could do these 15-second videos, they were like completely separate from uploading a regular YouTube video, because you had to use a stories function within a mobile app. But now we have Shorts, and all of us have been given this backdoor access to Shorts by just uploading normal videos, and then sometimes they appear. That's where the confusion is. Now, I'm not sure how this is going to change when YouTube introduces this Shorts button to everybody, because it's only available in India right now. So there's a continued confusion. What would be, and I think also this goes back to Dan's ultimate question of how does short form content sit beside long form content on YouTube? And right now, the way it sits together is that we have all of these confusing questions about how to monetize content, whether these count as watch time, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think probably 3 to 6 months after this recording, we'll know the answers. But right now, as we're all trying to jump onto this new trend of YouTube Shorts, we don't have complete answers. But that doesn't mean you should stop testing just because you can't monetize yet, because I'm almost certain in the future you will be able to monetize yet, but YouTube just hasn't revealed those that information. And just as a final point on this, YouTube Creator Insider channel did a video this week where they explicitly said Shorts can't be monetized, and the watch time from Shorts doesn't count towards monetization yet. So I think it's going to change, but we just don't know when.
Do you think that there's a possibility that this is a global test and it to rival Reels and TikTok, and that whole is in TikTok being banned in multiple countries around the world? There was the big thing in the US about TikTok. Could this be YouTube's reaction to this? And when kind of the dust all settles down, maybe it just gets relegated to being YouTube stories and very much that's just what it is? Or do you see this being a potential foray into YouTube, really getting into that new generation of quick creation of content to resonate with someone 60 seconds or less?
I was going to say
I've been kind of speculating all day. I feel it could be a little bit of both. I think that to those of us who just kind of create more long form content and use YouTube in that more traditional way, it will look like Shorts is just this other corner of YouTube, kind of like Shorts and Stories. Yeah, like you said, it'll kind of be in its own little world. But I think people who actively use Shorts, whether or not they also do long form content, I think it will also bring them in. And I just think that the user experience will be different for every single person. And by that, I mean, they will view YouTube through whatever lens they view it through. If they're always in the Shorts section watching that content, then that stuff might get suggested to them more, for example. Again, purely speculation.
I think to stay relevant, YouTube has to take short form content seriously, as TikTok or Instagram Reels or whatever is a huge threat to YouTube's long-term position as, I think we'll all agree, the leading video platform right now. I think, but I'm kind of sticking my flag in the ground here, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I think YouTube has to make the decision and separate the content in the sense of making it available on a separate app. I mean, and when you think about it, like, wow, YouTube are going to create multiple apps for their video content. Well, they do already have the YouTube Kids app. So there is precedence there. But I don't know how I go from watching long form content and then suddenly jumping into short form content and then going back to long form content. It feels like you're in one mood or another. And the way you find shorts right now is just clunky. And YouTube have got to figure out how to make it more accessible and more understandable for creators. And so ultimately, I think there'll be a separate app. But again, speculation, as Dan says, we could all be wrong. Leron, what about you? I mean, we've been talking a lot here. What do you think about this? Because I think I want you to add a little bit here. You've had experience creating TikTok shorts. I know you had a little bit of fun with that. And I think you had some fairly successful content on there. I don't know if you're still doing it. I assume you have no interest in testing shorts out on your channel yet, but I'm just wondering what you thought about it all.
Yeah, I think it's a mindset thing at the end of the day. So when you're in TikTok mode, you've got this app open and you know that you're just going to scroll through reel after reel after reel of very short content. Some you'll love, some you'll hate. You'll simply swipe up as you're going through this. But there's no expectation to sit there and actually consume this insane amount of content that's really going to teach you a how-to tutorial from start to finish with every step that's a 15-minute. Your mindset isn't there. You're there for the funny. You're there for the cringe. You're there for the weird. You're there for maybe quick nuggets of information. But it's a mindset thing. I think when we go onto YouTube, our mindset is, oh, I have a problem. My toilet is clogged. I need to unclog it. How do I get more views on YouTube? How do I get more subscribers to my YouTube channel? You're there in learning mode. You're there to consume that kind of content. Or you're in the, hey, I wonder what David Dobrik's up to. I wonder what Casey Neistat's up to. You're in that mindset. But you're there actively looking for that kind of content that you're in the mood for. I do agree. I think a YouTube Shorts app is completely going to tailor this experience. And then it will separate those who are making long-form content, deep dives into from those who are going to make those quick, biteable chunks. Where it lies, who knows? That's the point of experimenting with lots of this. I know for myself, I haven't done it on my main channel yet, but I've got a plan to maybe create a second channel and do something with that, with a bit of a twist to try test that and see how that works for both search and for those kind of pushing those suggestions. Where it will lie, who knows? That's all we're all doing in this, is we're testing, I suppose, right?
Yeah, I just hope that maybe like in 6 months' time, I don't want to be the person who said I told you so, but I at least want to be the person who gave, you know, just a few, even if it's a handful of creators, this new opportunity to build an audience in a different type of content on YouTube. And if I have a positive impact on people doing that, then at least I've done my job as a YouTube educator. I think we were joking just before the live stream that all of the shorts I've done so far are terrible and I've had no success. So that's what teachers do. They don't actually do the things that they're talking about. They just teach them to other people who are much more qualified and creative in creating successful short content.
Look, the one thing I will say about shorts or any video content on any platform is, especially if you're a YouTuber, the more you do, the better you get. The one thing that shorts are really good at, or the one thing that TikTok's really good at, and the one thing that Reels are really good at, is making you really focus on telling a very quick story in 60 seconds or less. If you can master that skill of being able to tell your story, to tell your how-to, to tell your journey, to explain everything in 60 seconds or less, that's an amazing skill to transferable to your YouTube channel, transfers to your regular content. So wherever the chip may fall eventually, it's not a wasted experience. And I think it's very good for people to realize that YouTube isn't one thing or another. Do this wrong, your channel shut down. That mindset should be long gone. You should be experimenting. And this is a good opportunity to get maybe in front of a new audience. We know people that have one topic on their main channel, but they've always wanted to talk about something else. So now they're experimenting with that second topic on another channel. So again, YouTube Shorts is a very cool, very quick way to dip your toes into that water. If that channel takes off and people really love it, and you know, people are leaving comments saying, hey, we want more of this, maybe that's an opportunity to build it, to build up that kind of content that doesn't fall in line with your main content. So those are my final words. Experiment, be realistic with your goals, be realistic with what you're going to get out of it. It's not going to hit up. You have to remember your viewer on your main channel. My only red flag that I keep waving is your audience, your community on your main channel. Do you want to really mess with that as you're learning all the right puzzle pieces? Do you want to throw in something new into this? My personal feeling is no. That's why a second channel is very easy to create, and you can just experiment on that channel. Gentlemen, final words of wisdom before we sign off and go to Q&A?
Well, given just going off of what you just said about creating a second channel, given that there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of search intent behind these as of right now, and it may continue that way, yeah, it seems to be a little risk starting, especially if you're going to go off topic. If you're a gaming channel that wants to start making cat videos, yeah, I wouldn't put that on your gaming channel, you know, because your audience is still going to get pushed that content, your normal audience. They're going to be confused. So yeah, throw up some of those shorts on a new channel, and it's likely they will, you know, they could take off. You just never know. Will that channel get a ton of subscribers? Will it become your new main channel? Who knows? But test. I second everything Leron just said.
So the title of this live stream or podcast, as I put it, was YouTube Shorts, Are They Worth It? And the answer is still undetermined. But think of it along this point of view. It's something that came into my head as Leron was talking about his experiences. Thumbnails. A lot of creators have this issue of adding too much text to thumbnails. And I sometimes say, well, why don't you embrace the completely different? Like, why don't you test making 5 or 10 thumbnails with absolutely no text whatsoever? And that just transforms your entire way of making a thumbnail, or it's a different challenge. And I think YouTube Shorts could be summed up in the same way, in that you're used to making longer form content for a particular audience. There is an untapped potential audience maybe coming onto YouTube via Shorts. So just imagine the challenge of trying to turn a 10, 20 minute video into a 60 second short, and how that's going to change the storytelling, the editing. It's going to challenge new aspects of your creative skills. And I think just through personal development alone, it's worth doing it. I again share Leron's sentiments about really treating your current audience with respect and not just dumping random testing content on there. Maybe start a new channel or do it one in every 5 videos. But yeah, YouTube Shorts, you're definitely aware of them now because we've been talking about it for the last 2 or 3 weeks. Pay attention. It's still up to you whether or not you decide to test it, but I highly recommend you test it, because who knows, this time next year, you could be a channel with millions of subscribers and tens of millions of views as one of the leaders in Shorts, or we'll not speak of this ever again.
And on that note, don't forget to share this episode with at least one other creator that's perhaps trying to experiment with YouTube Shorts. This is going to help them really understand the landscape a little bit better. And of course, don't forget to leave a review in your favorite podcast application. And as always, I will catch you on the next episode of Tube Talk. Thanks for hanging out.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tube Talk, brought to you by VidIQ. Head over to vidIQ.com/tubetalk for today's show notes and previous episodes. Enjoy the rest of your video making day.